Good morning. Well, we're continuing with our Pressing On message series. We're pressing on with Pressing On, something like that. And this week, our topic is the promise, God's promise. And we are going to be looking at the passage that Hannah just read, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, but we'll also look at other scripture. And we want to understand and experience the promise, God's promise. And there is so much breadth and depth to this, so much that can be said, so much that is said in scripture about God's promise. And I'll, off the top, admit this was not the easiest message to prepare, and I acknowledge my own limitations. However, speaking of the promise, God is faithful, and we can trust him, and he continues to move. So I'm excited for how he will speak to us today through his Spirit and his Word. The promise, God's promise, the promise of his presence, the blessing of his presence, the promise of God's faithfulness, care, love. God's promise is a truth that runs throughout Scripture in both the Old and New Testaments. God's promise is for all of humanity. God's promise is based on who God is. God's promise is relational. It's covenantal. God's promise, established in Old Testament times, fulfilled in Christ, has both a present reality and a future hope. Let's read Genesis 12, 2-3. Here, God is making a promise to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Take note that this promise occurs at a time before the law of Moses. It predates the law. God makes a promise to Abraham. God says, I will bless you. So it's specific to Abraham, but it's more than that. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that includes all of us today. And it's a promise that God keeps, a promise that finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And God's promise is on display in the book of Acts through the power of the Holy Spirit as the good news about Jesus, how he died for our sins and rose again, how we can be reconciled to God through Jesus, new life in Jesus. This good news is proclaimed to both Jews and Gentiles, all peoples. And this promise continues today for all people. God loves us. God wants us to be family with him in Christ. The promise is for you and me. And this promise has a future hope, has eternal implications. Jesus, Lord of all, will return again. I want to talk about the idea of God's promise being a covenant, and God desires a covenantal relationship with us in Jesus Christ. God is absolutely loving and faithful. We can fully depend on him. And this week, I have a more serious picture with my wife. Last week, you got bushy eyebrows. And this week, I've cleaned up a bit. You get a wedding photo. And by the way, the bushy eyebrow picture last week, it was taken on our engagement day. Actually, before I asked my wife to marry me. And she did say yes. So here we are in this picture, June 20, 2015. Karen and Paul getting married. making a covenant with each other, a covenant. We said things like for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. No one forced us to make that commitment. We chose it. We both chose it. It was mutual, and it was motivated by love. Love that forgives, accepts, and cherishes. And making that commitment, it did change our lives in practical ways. We blended with 7 children, so sacrifice was involved, and life was never the same. Hi, kids. Love you. But I know that we are blessed. And honestly, the biggest blessing is that we are family. And all of us today, we can have a similar, I think there are some parallels, a similar committed relationship with God because of Jesus, a relationship that's based on covenant, a relationship that's based on God's promise. There's a depth and breadth to God's promise, as I mentioned. It's big. It's multifaceted. But how can we simplify things this morning? What's at the heart of God's promise? And I believe it's about God's heart for us, that He created us. He loves us. He wants us to be family with Him. He wants to do life together. And God promises that He's here, that He's present now. He's available for us. And God's love for us is steadfast, ongoing, constant. And it's only our indecision, our indifference, our rejection of God that prevents this fellowship, this relationship, this life. And I was thinking, like, how can I just express this promise kind of in the first person? And I thought possibly it might sound something like this. I am your God. I am here. I love you. You can accept me, embrace me. You can ignore me, reject me. You can even spit on me and crucify me. But I am your God. I am here, and I love you. That's God's promise. It's God's promise to all of us, to each of us. Let's turn, let's look at the passage in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And this is a well-known passage. It's often called the Great Commission. But this morning, I want to look at it perhaps through a different lens, through the lens of promise. And I do want to reread it, just so it's fresh in our minds and hearts. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." In verse 18, Jesus expresses his authority. He has all authority. In verse 19, in the first part of verse 20, we see the action, that we're called to do as God's people, those who participate, who have willingly chosen to participate in God's promise. Go and make disciples. And at the end of this passage, this beautiful statement, Jesus says, He is always with us. God's continuing promise, the blessing of His presence, the relationship that we can have, faithfulness, protection, love. Jesus is always with us. And there's a future hope, eternal life that we can embrace. Jesus is with us to the very end of the age. We read in verse 18, then Jesus came to them, to his disciples, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That is a powerful statement. All authority, not just some, not a little bit, all. The authority of Jesus Christ, it's absolute, it's complete, it's preeminent. There's nothing greater. Total authority. All authority. There's other verses in Scripture that speak of Christ's authority. Let's just look at some examples. Colossians 1:7. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Jesus Christ has all authority, all authority. But let's make it personal. Does Jesus have all the authority in your life, in my life? Have you ever taught someone how to drive? If you're younger, then I hope you haven't. But it can be, if you're below 16, it can be fun, but it also can be a little nerve-wracking, especially if you're teaching them in your car, the car that you own. And there's this moment when you give up control of driving and you hand them the keys. One time I was driving with one of my children. You have a 1 in 7 chance. I'll protect some identity here. It was their first time behind the wheel, first time. And I decided I'm going to this quiet road, and there I am. I'm in the passenger seat. They're the one driving. I've given up control. And I made the mistake of choosing a road that didn't have a shoulder, and it had a rather deep ditch on the passenger side. Now, I have to give them credit, give you credit. Great job, conscientious, excellent control of the vehicle. But there were a few moments when we were about 4 inches away from the ditch. And when we got home safe and sound, my teenage child looked at me and said, Dad, I've never seen you look so pale. So let's just acknowledge it's not always easy to give up control, to give the authority to someone else. There's a sacrifice. But this is what has to happen if we're to experience God's promise. We have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ has all authority. And this includes the authority over our lives. It's almost like we hand Jesus the keys and say, I'm not driving anymore. You drive. I choose you. And by the way, it's nothing like giving your keys to a first-time driver. It's more like you're giving your keys to not only the one who made the car, but the best driver that there is. When we give our life to Jesus, we begin to experience the blessing, his presence, his promise to be with us, to care for us, to lead us, and love us. And there's the beginning moment when we choose Jesus as Savior and Lord. We say, Jesus, you are my Lord. I give you the authority in my life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And there's also the ongoing, the daily decisions to give Jesus all the authority in our lives. So we may have had that moment where we did give him authority, but then there's those ongoing decisions. Does Jesus have authority in our relationships, both in terms of who and how? Does Jesus have authority over our social media? Does Jesus have authority over our life decisions, the small ones and the big ones? Does Jesus have authority in what we eat and drink? Does Jesus have authority in every area of our life? Based on the authority of Christ, we're called to action, to go and make disciples. And we all play a role in this. We do this together as God's people, his church. What specifically is God calling you to do? We have different gifts. We're in different situations. Is God calling you to be more intentional about training your children? Is it to offer, great timing there, thank you. Is it to offer hospitality? Maybe open your home, or maybe take someone out. We always say coffee, but it could be anything. It could be a sandwich. Is God calling you to join a life group? We actually do have space right now. Is God calling you to pray with others? What action in terms of this going and making disciples is God asking you to take? Maybe God is calling you to a different country. And perhaps today, this is a bit new for you. You are here and you're seeking faith. And these ideas about Jesus are really very new to you. First, let me say, I'm so glad you're here. It's great you came. Please keep coming. And also, I encourage you, lean into the seeking. Take a look in the Bible. I'd suggest reading one of the books that talk about the story of Jesus' life, like the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Or maybe you want to sign up for Alpha. Or perhaps you want to ask someone to pray for you. So keep seeking. Don't stop. It's worth it. God is amazing. And Jesus loves you, and you can have life with Jesus right now and forever. I'll invite the music team back up. And I want to highlight how the Gospel of Matthew ends. It's the last sentence in Matthew. And one commentator said, it's really more of a beginning than an end. And I like that idea. The story is not over. With Jesus, we're just getting started. And we have the promise of Jesus. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. May we embrace this promise today and every day. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for who you are. God, it is beyond my capacity to fully understand who you are, but I know enough. I know you love me. I know you love each person here, that you created each person. You long to comfort them and have that amazing relationship with them in Jesus, Lord. So I thank you. I thank you for your promise, for your faithfulness, for your presence, for your love for us, Lord. Even when we reject you, when we run away, you still love us. You wait for us. And when we come back, you welcome us with open arms. So we thank you. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.